Well, what's going on, church? Good morning. Hey, thank you. Didn't the worship team do awesome today? Can we give them a round of applause? I was standing in the back of the room, and usually I'm up here, and one thing I love about Revolution that I just noticed back there, like, we are a worshiping church. You guys know how to worship, so it's just so awesome to come here and experience that. If this is your first time with us, welcome. My name is Nathan. I want you to know this day, we don't want anything from you. We just hope to get to know you, and we hope to point you to life-changing news of Jesus, what Jesus can do in your life and what Jesus is doing in our lives. But today, we're going to go to a scary place. We're going to start a brand new series called Soundtracks. And the scary place that we're going to go to is in your mind. Now, that's a scary place, isn't it? So look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're kind of scary. Go ahead and tell them real quick. Kind of scary. Hey, if you got told twice, that means you're real scary, right? Your mind is a scary place. But what we're going to do in this series, I love what we're going to do because I believe this could be one of those series where you're going to look back in your life, and if you really, over the next 4 weeks, allow God to speak to you, allow God to move in your life, and maybe apply some of the things that we're going to talk about in this series, I think you're going to be able to look back and be like, man, that was a moment where something just clicked in my mind. And so often people say, I want deep. And you know what deep really is? Deep is hearing something and applying it. And I believe if you apply what we're going to hear, what God has to say about our thoughts, it will change your life. But also, it's one of those series where you don't get to look around at other people. You're just looking within because you're like, hey, I'm messed up and I'm sitting by a bunch of messed up people and I need to think about what I think about. And that leads me to this question. Do you ever think about what you think about? And to that, the guys say, absolutely not. We don't think, right? We just do, right? But do you ever think about what you think about? That's kind of a weird question, isn't it? Like, do I think about what I think about? So I ask myself that. Do I think about what I think about? I'm like, bro, I barely think about what I'm thinking about to do. Like, I barely think what I do. I just act, and it gets me in a lot of trouble, and I just say things, and I get in trouble. But do you ever think about your thoughts? You ever think about the brain waves that are going through your mind? You're like, man, where did that come from? Like, what in the world? Like, do you just think about it? And do you know this? That I went and said, like, what is the average, I Googled, what is the average person, or how many thoughts does the average person have on a day? You know what I found? They said, IU fans, about 10,000, right? Purdue fans, about 70,000 a day, right? So the average person has about 70,000 thoughts a day. And I'm like, 70,000? Like, that's a huge number. Like, 70,000, like, what am I thinking about 70,000 times? And most of it's like food, sport, you know, and sports. Like, that's it, like, you know, and God, and like, 70,000? And then I started thinking, like, well, you know, I am kind of ADD. So, like, I'm thinking about, like, he's got a Batman shirt on, and I wonder, like, can Captain America beat Batman in a fight? Like, you know, like, I'm just thinking, like, and then, like, some of you, like, I don't like the clothes you're wearing today. Ooh, I really like your clothes. Like, I'm just thinking a lot of things, and I'm up here talking at the same time, but we think a lot. Do you ever just think about your thoughts? You know, from the second you wake up, you start thinking, like, what am I going to eat? Or how many of you, come on, how many of you are snooze button hitters? Yeah, some of you are like, come on, man. Who just jump out of bed? Like, I just jump out of bed. I'm ready to go, right? Before my feet hit the floor, I already got my clothes on. I'm excited about the day. But you wake up and you think, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? This day is going to be awesome. This day is going to be great. This day is going to be amazing. This day is going to be awful. I'm going to hate it. I don't want to go to work. Like, you have all these thoughts. And then you think about, like, your life is just consumed with thoughts. And then I came across this book called Soundtracks. Everybody say Soundtracks. And it was written by this good-looking dude named John Acuff. And this book was really a good book. And it says, Soundtracks, the surprising solution to overthinking. How many of you are overthinkers? Go home and buy this book. I promise you it's worth it. If I can read it, I guarantee you can, right? But he started thinking about thoughts. So what we're going to call today is Thoughts 101. Some of the information we're going to hear today is inspired by this book, but then it inspired this series. So the rest of the series is not about this book, but I encourage you, if you're someone who struggles with thoughts, go home, buy this book, check it out. And I love what he said. He said, our thoughts are the personal soundtrack of our lives. Why? Because you listen to you more than you listen to anybody else. And that can be a very, very scary thing and a scary place to be, right? But our thoughts are the personal soundtracks to our lives. So I want to think about this. Like, do you guys even have some soundtracks or songs that when you hear them, you just go back in time? You know, music has that ability. So I want to share some of my soundtracks with you. But the first one, you have to make a promise with me, okay? You guys ready? You're not going to make fun of me. Can we do that? I'm not confident, so I might skip it. Like, can we do that? So the first soundtrack that I remember that really was pivotal to my life. You're going to laugh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're with me right here. NSYNC, anybody? Come on. Like, I want you back. He's like little spin moves and stuff. Like, yeah, right? Awesome. But this guy right here, who is this? JT, Justin Timberlake, baby. I wanted to be Justin Timberlake. You know why? He was dating Britney Spears, and Britney Spears was the most beautiful girl in the entire world at that time. NSYNC, man, pivotal to my growing up, like second grade, I think I heard this CD or had this CD. And then I think of this, Garth Brooks, right? I got friends in lowly place. Okay, anyways, right? Garth Brooks. And I remember singing these songs with my dad. I can't sing, but singing. My dad loved Garth Brooks and singing Garth Brooks. Then I got this stage in my life. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Any Eminem fans in here? We're just going to skip that stage in life. It was interesting. Let's just say that. And then I have this song, Safety Suit. There's a wedding version song called Never Stop, and it was the song that I danced to at my wedding with Whitney. That's where you guys go, aw, isn't that amazing? Right? Yeah, aw. And then I think of this more recently, Darius Rucker. Like, look at this guy's eyes. You can get lost in those eyes, right? But Darius Rucker sang a song called It Won't Be Like This For Long. Maybe the truest words I've ever heard in a song. And I had it on repeat when Natalie was first born, because she was colic and she was crying all over every night. I was like, hey, it won't be like this for long, right? But I think of these songs, and I can think of songs and soundtracks in my life that just take me back to a place or a time, and they're powerful. And the reason they're powerful isn't because you heard them one time, right? But you listen to them over and over and over again. Like some of you, you had cassette tapes, and then some of you had records. And then some of you have, maybe some of you used to burn CDs off LimeWire. How many of you used to do that? I'm reporting all of you, man, right? You used to do that? That's a crime, right? Adam, get them here, right? But then there's the A-tracks. Is that what they were called? Yeah, some of you, I didn't know that word first service, but some of you had those. And some of you were like real old school. You just had the instruments yourself, right? You didn't have technology, okay? But you have all these songs, these soundtracks that you remember, and they take you back to a place because they're powerful. And I love the analogy of thoughts, because your thoughts are playing over and over and over again in your mind. Some are good and some aren't. But you know this, that your thoughts and my thoughts determine the course of your life. Because here's the reality. Before you ever made a really bad decision, anybody ever make a bad decision? Before you ever did that, guess what? You first thought it was a good idea in your mind. Like, how did you convince yourself of that? Before you ever made a mistake, it was first a thought. Before you ever made a good decision, it was a thought. Before some of you got that haircut that you don't like, you're like, you convinced yourself, hey, I'm going to look good with this haircut. And it did not look good, right? Your thoughts determine the course of your life. And you know what's awesome? Is I don't just say this. Science doesn't just say this, but Scripture says this. And so many times we think science and Scripture are at odds, but so many times they go together. Sometimes science is just catching up with what God said thousands of years ago. And thousands of years ago, in the book of Proverbs, which was a wisdom book, it said this, for as he thinks, that means thoughts, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, as you are, it determines the direction and course of your life. Your life right now, where you're at right now, is because of the thoughts that led you on a path to lead you where you are. And so some of you right now, you're like, I don't like my path. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what I'm thinking. I don't like my relationship status. I don't like what's happening. And what so many of us need to do is we need to realize, like, our thoughts are guiding us and directing us. And so you know this about thoughts, but I'm going to say it real quick. Your thoughts are constant. You're constantly thinking. Our minds are constantly going 70,000 times a day. Now, I'll admit, there are certain times I sit on my couch in my house and I'm just staring at the TV or the wall, and Whitney's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I'm literally thinking about nothing. Anybody ever do that, right? But most of the time, our thoughts are constant. They're powerful. They guide you. They direct you, right? They determine your emotions. Like, they decide, hey, do I like this person? Do I not like this person? They dictate how you're going to feel in a situation or towards someone. They dictate so much. They're powerful. And your thoughts matter. Like, they're taking up mental real estate. They're guiding your life. So they're constant, they're powerful, and they matter. And if they're constant and they're powerful and they matter, don't you think we need to think about what we think about? right? Say that 10 times fast. Think about what you need to think about. Constant, powerful matter. And actually, we learned something about our mind, and this is what was so cool, how we're hardwired, that we're created in such a way that when we think thoughts, because all is a think something, that we have these sound checks that are playing our mind, the more often you think a thought, the easier to think that thought, it's easier to think that thought again. So if you think, if you're negative, you wake up and you're negative about that day, it's going to be easier to be negative throughout that day because your mind is creating a pathway, a neural pathway it's called. Like, I'm not a scientist, but I'm trying to explain it. A neural pathway here. And so if you're positive, you create pathways. If you're hateful, you create pathways. It's the same thing with a substance. You do a substance, your mind creates a pathway. Right? There's so many things. Our minds are creating these pathways over and over and over again. And once that pathway is created, the easier it is to think that thought again and again and again. So sometimes these soundtracks, these thoughts get stuck on our head and we're stuck thinking things we don't want to think. We're doing things we don't want to do. Like, we have all these soundtracks playing in our head over and over and over again. And our mind makes it easier to think about them. Again, don't you think we need to think about what we think about? And so if our mind, it creates these pathways, it's like backing out of our garage, instead of going off our driveway like a normal person, you start driving through the grass for 6 months. And for over 6 months, it rains. Well, apparently it doesn't rain in the summer in northern Indiana. I did not know that. But you create these, on your dead grass, you just create these paths, and this path, and this path, and over 6 months, you start to have a rut, you start to have a path. It's easier to drive on that path. The same thing for our minds. Our minds are powerful. So I'm going to ask you again, don't you think we need to think about what we think about? I do, right? We need to think about what we think about, because the more often you think something, the easier it is to think it again. But the good news is this, that as you explore science, you read books, you go to church, you talk with people, you start to realize something. I start to realize something from hearing other people speak, is that most of our biggest battles are won and lost in our thoughts. It's not actually, sometimes we want to just correct the action or stop the action. But what if we could stop it before it ever became an action? What if we could capture it before it became an action? That most of our biggest battles are won and lost in our mind. And our faith is the same way. The good news is this, that God doesn't say, well, you're a scary person. Hopefully, yeah, you figure it out, right? He doesn't leave you. He's like, no, I'm going to give you words. I'm going to fill your spirit. I'm going to help renew your mind. But he gives us words, and we believe the Bible is God's words, and God's word speaks to us, and it's still active today, and it still transforms lives today. And so if you go to the New Testament, there's a man named Paul, and many of you know Paul, but Paul was this man who one time thought these thoughts about Christians. He hated Christians, despised Jesus, arrested them, was okay with people killing Christians, and then his life was completely transformed, and he changed the way he thought. And then he goes on to be this greatest proclaimer of Jesus the world has ever seen, and he wrote letters, and they kind of have funny names like Ephesians or Galatians, or Galatians and Colossians and Romans. They all have these weird names at times. But in these letters I found, as I was looking through this week, often, so many times, he actually talks about us being in a battle. He talks about our thoughts and how we need to capture them. So I want to kind of look at some things that he said. In Ephesians, he says this, and this is so important to understand, because this is what's at stake. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He's like, listen, you may not see it, you may not realize it, you may not understand the gravity of the situation, but your soul is up for grabs. Your soul, my soul, and your soul in this world is up for grabs, and there's a battle going on. It's not a battle that you can see. It's not a battle that you understand. It's not against flesh and blood, but there's a battle being waged for your soul, and things are happening. And it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Paul will say, you know where often these battles are? They happen in your mind. You ever think, why can't I get past this anxious thought? Why can't I just stop being depressed? Why can't I overcome this urge to want to do something I know I shouldn't do? Why am I so insecure? Why do I think these hateful thoughts? Why can't I be more positive? Why is it going on? Why can't I control what's going on? And Paul would say, hey, you're at war. There's a war going on for your soul. And what Satan loves to do is he loves to attack your mind. He loves to tell you, hey, God doesn't use people like you. You're too far gone. You should just stay away. You can't change anything anyways. God's not going to forgive you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't love people who listen to Eminem, Garth Brooks, NSYNC, Moana, and Toy Story soundtrack during a workout. Like, he doesn't do that, right? He starts attacking our minds because there's war going on. And then I love what he wrote to another group of Christians. He said, listen, there's a war going on, and you got to understand that. Like, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge or the word of God. And we take captive every thought. And what? We make it obedient to Christ. He's like, listen, you need to learn that there's battle going on. You need to understand, you got to think about what you think about, because your thoughts are powerful and your life is heading in the direction of your most strongest thoughts. So he's like, you need to start taking these thoughts captive. Those anxious thoughts, those anxiety thoughts, those thoughts of depression, those thoughts that make you want to do things you don't want to do. He's like, you need to start taking them captive. You need to start taking them captive and locking them down, right? You need to start making your thoughts obedient to Christ. You need to start making your changing your thoughts so you can walk in the way that Jesus called you to walk. It's like, you got to start thinking about what's going through your head. So I want to stop here and ask this question. Are my thoughts helping me find Jesus and live like him? That's our mission. That's our goal for you. We don't want anything from you except we want to help guide you and direct you in this, helping you find Jesus and live like him. Or are your thoughts pulling you away from him? And maybe you're here today and you're like, hey, I don't follow Jesus. I'm not there yet. Well, this is what you need to ask yourself. Is the way you're thinking right now helping you get to the life that you want? Right? So are your thoughts helping you become who you want to become? And followers of Jesus, this is the most one of the most important questions. Are my thoughts helping me find Jesus and live like him? Or are they pulling me away from him? So let's illustrate this. Imagine that this is Jesus over here. He's a little bit taller than this in my mind, but just imagine that for a second, right? But imagine he's over here. And like, wouldn't it be nice if you like, that's Jesus. I know what I need to do. I know I need how I need to live. I know what I need to think, and I'm going to walk right to it. Boom. Wouldn't it be nice if your mind worked like that, right? Does anybody's mind work like that in here? Because if you do, I would like to talk to you, because I got to figure some things out in my own life, right? So here's how my mind goes. There's Jesus. I know what I need to do. I know how he wants me to live. I know what I'm supposed to think and not think. I know it, right? And I know it. And so I start walking towards him, and then all of a sudden I see like a squirrel. I'm over here, and I'm over here. And before I know it, I'm just walking in circles. I'm like, man, who is driving this train? Who is driving this mind in my head? I'm like, where do these thoughts even come from? And so I want my thoughts to help me find Jesus. I want my thoughts to lead me closer to Jesus. But at times I realize this, and you realize this, my thoughts are not giving me to where I want to be. They're directing me somewhat, but I get off path and I go this way and something else happens in my mind. And Paul's like, listen, you got to take those thoughts captive. So another letter that Paul wrote, he wrote to a group of Christians in Rome. He writes this letter called Romans. It's one of the greatest letters ever written. Chapter 8 of Romans, if you want to know what the gospel is, go home and read Romans chapter 8. It's an amazing chapter. But he writes to these Christians in Rome, and Rome hated Christians. They persecuted Christians. It was like the hot spot for Christians to be killed and arrested. And there's Christians in there. There's people following Jesus in this hostility. But there's a little tension going on. They've been taught something their entire life. And the more you think something, the easier it is to think again. And so they're having trouble overcoming some of their old thoughts and their old ways of understanding how the gods that they believed in, the false gods, worked, and how actually God or how Jesus operated, what Jesus said. And so they're struggling with their thoughts. They're struggling with all these things going on. And Paul writes in chapter 12, listen to what he says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Not conform to the pattern of this world. He's like, don't think like the rest of the world. You guys ever look at the world and be like, what is going on? Anybody? Like what's going on? Right? Like, who's driving this bus? Like, I don't know what's going on, right? Like, how do we get here? How do we think that? Like, do people actually believe that? He's like, there's people around you believing crazy things or things that are so far off that they're going to lead you down a path you don't need to be on. He's like, don't conform to their pattern of thinking. Right? Don't conform to the world. Like, as followers of Jesus, you're not supposed to conform to the world. You're supposed to stand apart. So he says, be what? Be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Transformed. And that's this idea of metamorphosis, and it's kind of the word, the scientific idea of a caterpillar turning to a butterfly. That's a boring illustration. So I think of Bumblebee turning from a Camaro to like this giant robot, right? So completely transforming. Transformers, if you never watched it, go home and watch it, right? So transform the renewing of your mind. Then what? Because you transform your thoughts, you're changing your thoughts, you're taking them captive. What will you be able to do? Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to make decisions, godly decisions, decisions that God is calling us to make. And God's will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. He's like, you need to not be conformed, but to transform your thinking. It's like literally changing the soundtrack. He's like, listen, you're no longer listening to Eminem over here. You're listening to Elevation Worship, right? You're changing the soundtrack. It's not country. It's not rap anymore. It's country. You're completely changing your thought process. So what he's telling us and what we need to look at today is it's time to create new soundtracks in your life. It's time to create new soundtracks. So if you can have a life of negativity, if you can create that soundtrack, you can create a life of positivity. If you can create a life of anxiety, you can create a life of calmness. If you can create a life of doubt in thinking, you can create a life of faith. He's like, you just got to start thinking, transforming and taking captive and creating new soundtracks in your life. He's like, you got to start thinking about what you think about. But here's where it gets tricky and here's what happens. We often sit down and we're like, listen, I can't control what I think about. Has anybody ever said that, right? And there's some truth to that. I can't control what I think about. And what you're saying is like, I can't control the thoughts coming into my mind. And sometimes that's true. We can't always stop what's coming through our mind, right? But you control the play buttons of your soundtrack. You know that. Right? Imagine you're sitting in your home and like you're streaming on Netflix or, man, there's so many streaming devices anymore, like Hulu, YouTube TV, whatever you're streaming, right? You don't get to control what Netflix puts on their little, you don't get to control the TV shows or the movies, right? They're in your living room, you turn it on, you got all these options and you're like, hey, I can't find anything to watch. It's amazing. There's thousands of movies at our disposal. We can't find nothing, right? But you can scroll through. You don't just turn on Netflix and it starts playing what it wants to play, does it? You have to hit the play button. Your thoughts are coming through your mind. Woof, so that's a scary thought. Where'd that come from? Okay, I need to keep going. Hey, skip. All right? You get to control the play button. You get to control how long you dwell on it. You get to control if you rewind it, fast forward it, repeat it. You have access to that. And that's what Paul's trying to make us see. He's like, listen, you have access, and here's what's amazing. Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to renew your thoughts. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to change the way you think. He wants to change what you believe, how you live, because he knows if he can change what you think, he'll change how you live. So what I want to do today as we head into Soundtracks 101 is I just want to look at three applicable steps we can start taking. Here's my promise to you. If you start applying what we're going to look at today, you will start to see a change in your life. Now, if you just hear this and you leave and you don't apply it, nothing's going to change, because if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? And change is hard, but you got to start looking at things and say, okay, like, hey, what do I need to do? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three things or three applicable moments of how to start looking at our soundtracks. So the first thing we need to do is you need to check your soundtracks. You need to check what's actually being played. Like, what are the soundtracks being stuck on repeat in your mind? What is it? Now, I'm not talking about, like, hey, the thought of, like, being hungry, because, like, that is one that's on my mind all the time. Like, I am hungry right now. Like, I'm going to be honest, right? So that's on my mind all the time. I'm always hungry. But what are the strongest thoughts besides that? What are the 10, 20 strongest thoughts? And here's a good way to do it. I saw someone do this once, and I'm going to share it with you. Take some words or some, like, examples. So, like this. Worried and calm. And then write 1 to 10, right? Maybe if 10 is too big, 1 to 5 for you, right? Worried or calm? And then you start thinking, okay, am I an anxious person? Like, when situations happen and I'm facing something, do I lean towards anxiety? Is anxiety loud? Is it deafening? Am I just anxious about the world, anxious about what's going on? And so if that's you, if you're like, hey, I'm just anxious, you're a one. Maybe you're more calm. You're like, hey, I'm just here for the ride, dude. Whatever happens, happens. You're a 10. And maybe you're like, hey, maybe I'm worried sometimes, maybe I'm calm. You're 5 or 6 or 7. And then this, negative or positive. Now, a really good way to do this is if you're married, ask your spouse. They'll tell you, right? Yeah. They have a better view of us sometimes. But, man, are you negative? Is everything doom and gloom? The world's ruined. Everybody's ruined. Like, morals are gone. Everything's gone. Or you're like, hey, no, you know what? It is bad. But when it's bad, it's an opportunity for good to happen. When it's dark, it's an opportunity to shine light. Are you more positive or negative? And then this one, this is going to be a little sneak peek into next week. This is where we're going next week. When things don't happen in your life the way you want, when things are going bad, when situations aren't going well, do you doubt God? Or do you lean towards faith? Like, hey, I trust God's got me through it before. He's going to get through it again. Start checking your thoughts. Do a thought inventory. What am I thinking about? Where are my thoughts leading me? This is an easy way to do it. You don't have to do it. And then here's another thing that we don't talk about enough when it comes to thoughts. But what are you consuming? What are you consuming? What am I watching? What am I listening to? Who am I hanging out with? What are my hobbies? What am I doing on the weekends? What am I consuming? Because here's what the reality is what we consume eventually flows out of us. So what we consume on Netflix, we consume on streaming, we consume on TikTok, right? That's a crazy world, right? We consume all this stuff constantly, and what you consume is going to eventually come out of you. So what are you consuming? Because you know, like when you start to consume things, like listen, you guys remember when The Walking Dead came out all those years ago? Remember that when it was actually the show? Like, some of y'all in this room thought you were going to be zombie hunters, right? Like, how did you convince yourself of that? Because you consume that. You ever notice, like, if you consume these, if for me, it's like if I'm watching something violent or something a little dark, like, then it can lead you to a bad place sometimes. Like, what you consume in your mind, it's a real place. And so it's taking up real estate in your mind. So what are you consuming? So what are your thoughts? Think about that. And then we need to retire. Everybody say retire. I'm only 47 years away from that. Retire broken soundtracks. Broken soundtracks. What are the sound? This is why it's important to think about what we think about. What are the soundtracks in your life that are leading you to places you don't want to be? A broken soundtrack is this: negative thoughts that lead you where you don't want to go. What are the soundtracks getting in your way of who God's called you to be? What are the soundtracks in your way in your life getting in the way of following Jesus? What are the soundtracks getting in the way of your for your relationship? What are the thoughts that are sabotaging your life? What are those things? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Is it insecurity? Is it hate? What is it? And here's how our minds work, and I don't know why sometimes, but can't your brain be a real jerk sometimes? It can, right? Because like, I don't have to convince my brain that I need to be anxious. It just kind of happens, right? I don't have to convince my brain to be depressed. I don't have to convince my brain to be insecure. It's like, it just happens. Like, it's like the things I don't want to think about sometimes are the things I dwell on. So you ever talk to somebody? I remember one time I was visiting a couple at the hospital of their baby, and they're like, hey, who do you think our baby looks like? And I'm like, don't say it out loud, don't say it out loud, don't say it out loud, right? I'm like, dude, that looks like an old person. That looks like your grandpa, right? But like, you know you're not supposed to say something, and you say it. Our mind operates the same exact way. So what we got to do is we got to take these broken soundtracks captive, meaning like we got to lock them down and say, okay, what soundtracks do I need to retire? Because if you don't know what's sabotaging you, it's pretty hard to defeat it. So you got to be honest with yourself. Right? It takes vulnerability, but if you want to experience what God wants in your life, if you want to get closer to God, if you want to live like Jesus and know him, you're going to have to understand, I got to retire some soundtracks in my life. So what are the soundtracks I need to retire? And then it's replace. Everybody say replace for me. Replace the broken soundtracks with new soundtracks. Replace them. Paul says transform your thinking. So here's what happens, and I think it's really dangerous when we do this as Christians and as churches. A lot of times our best advice when it comes to thoughts or things like this, you know what we say? Just stop it, right? Isn't that great advice, right? Like, I remember like somebody just tells you like, I'm worried. Oh, well, just stop it. Oh, thanks for the advice, dude. Like if I could just stop it, I want to be here talking to you. I don't even like you anyways, right? Like just stop it. It doesn't work. But what happens, I think, I've seen it in my life, I've seen it hurt people, I've seen it with friends. Sometimes as churches and as Christians, we're like, hey, you're doing something bad, just stop it. You know what? When I talk to people who are doing the things they don't want to do, you know what they say? Like, I wish I knew how. Right? And so sometimes when we just dismiss things and we're like, hey, just stop it. You know what we're doing? We're hurting people and we're pushing them away. So I don't want to just say, hey, stop it. You know that, right? You know you want to stop the broken soundtracks, right? You know that. But how? And so then you have to go into not just understanding yourself. You got to understand how the human mind works. So there's something that we have to do. We can't just stop it. We got to replace it. Because our thoughts are going to happen, right? There's going to be 70,000 thoughts going through our minds. We got to fill those thoughts with something. So if I just stop it, well, then another negative, you know, thought will come through my mind. So I got to learn to replace it. I got to take it captive. I got to transform it, and I have to replace it. You know what I'm saying? Like okay, if I'm negative, well, I got to learn how to be positive. If I have this anxiety, like, yeah, I might need some medicine. I might need to see a doctor or a counselor. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe how can, when I'm feeling anxious in the moment, how can I not just stop it? How can I learn to transform my mind to replace it with maybe what God wants me to do? Or just so I can get through this moment. And here's the crazy, crazy good news. Our minds are created in such a way, I found out this week, something called neurogenesis. And I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but I'm gonna try to explain it the best I can, right? Listen, I went to Lincoln Christian University in the middle of a cornfield, right? So I'm not the smartest dude in the room, but I'm gonna explain neurogenesis. It's this idea that every day you wake up, your mind or your brain creates new nerve cells or nerve endings where you can actually start changing the way you think. Every day you wake up, your brain is literally sitting there waiting. Okay, hey, listen. Imagine sitting in a chair like, what are you gonna think today? What are you gonna think today? And so many times we just think the same thing we thought yesterday. Why? Because we don't think about what we think about. We don't take our thoughts captive. We don't transform them. We don't renew our minds. We're thinking on the same things we thought of when we go to bed, right? And some of you, you know what? You sit in bed for 2 or 3 hours at night before you go to bed. Anybody there? Right? Guess what, guys? I fall asleep like 10 seconds. Right? So sorry, I don't feel your pain. Whitney stays up forever though, right? But you don't change it. But every day you wake up, how God's created you is a new opportunity to change the way you think. And here's where this comes full circle. This is so cool. A couple thousand years ago, there's a man named Paul, and he was sitting under house arrest, and he's writing a letter to a group of people. We call it the letter of Philippians. And if anybody ever had a reason to have a broken soundtrack, it's Paul. To be negative, it's Paul. He's under house arrest for preaching the gospel. He doesn't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. He doesn't know what's gonna happen next. And he writes to this group of Christians who are struggling. He says, listen, don't waver in your faith. Don't let what the world is doing to you get you down. Don't lose faith. I'm not losing faith. And at the end of this book, in chapter 4, he starts talking about anxiety. He starts talking about the way you think. And then we get to verse 8 in chapter 4 of Philippians, and he says this, listen, neurogenesis, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think about such things. Change the way you think. Don't just stop it. Replace it. Think about what's true. What's true when you're anxious, when you're depressed? What anxiety does, sometimes it makes you convinces your mind that false things are true, right? It's not always true, but focus what's true. What's true? God loves me. God will provide for me. I matter to God. Focus on whatever's pure, right? There's a lot of things that aren't pure in the world, but focus what is pure. Focus on whatever's lovely, right? Focus on loving people. Whatever's lovely, whatever's kind. Focus on these things, whatever's admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy. Think about such things. Change the way you think. Replace these negative soundtracks with something new. And then there's a promise. I love the promise. The promise is verse 9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Again, what is deep faith? Putting into practice what we hear. And then there's a promise. And the God of peace will be with you. It doesn't say this, though. We got to read it very carefully for what it says. It doesn't say, and you will have peace. Those statements are similar, but not identical. The promise is this. Paul's writing under house arrest, writing to a group of Christians being persecuted. He says, listen, you may be in the valley right now. I may never leave this house arrest. I may never leave being under arrest. I may die for my faith. Things may not be how I want to be. I may still have anxiety. I may still be depressed. I may still have these negative thoughts, but I'm working on them. But there's a promise. He's like, I need you to change how you think. I need you to play a new soundtrack. And the soundtrack is this, that wherever I go, the God of peace goes with me. He's like, you got to change it. You got to understand, you're not there alone. Your mind can be a scary place. And I know you got broken soundtracks. And I know you're trying to fix the way you think. And I know you're anxious. He literally talks about anxiety a verse or two before this. It's like, I know you're anxious. I know you're worried. But I want you to know that the God of peace, wherever you go, he'll go with you. You may need to take other steps to overcome it, but listen, you got to start playing this soundtrack. Okay, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I don't know what to do, but the God of peace is with me. I'm creating that pathway so I can connect back to Philippians 4:9. And then I want to end with this. I want to go back to another letter, not written by Paul, but another man. He says this, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Get rid of those broken soundtracks, what you're consuming that's causing you not to be where you need to be. And humbly accept the word that God has planted where? In your heart. As you think flows from your heart. Take God's word, place it in your hearts. For it has the power to what? Save your souls. There's one thing in this world that saves us from ourselves. There's one thing that saves us from sin. There's one thing that saves us from our own selves and our mind. It's the word of God. And the word of God says that Jesus was sent to die for you and me. So here's what we're going to do over the next several weeks. We're going to go on this journey of looking at soundtracks that you have in your mind that are stuck on repeat, that you need to change, that I need to change, that maybe if we can just learn to capture them, it may just change the course of our life. Because can you imagine if you just made your thoughts obedient to Jesus, the transformation you'll have in your life? So accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your hearts, because it has the power to save your souls. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for who you are. Man, I'm so thankful. I mean this all sincerely, God. Thank you for these people here today. I don't know their stories. I don't know their lives, Father, but I pray they leave here with the truth of understanding that you want a relationship with them, that you call them to a new life, that they need to change what they're thinking and run to you, God, and you'll renew our minds. So, Father, we're going to sing this song in just a moment called Gratitude, to give you thanks for being in our lives and giving us access to you. God, I love you. I love this church. I love the people in this room, because we know you love us because you sent Jesus to die for us. So let's continue to praise you today. In your name we pray. Amen.